Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters. Brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show and happy Wednesday night to everybody out there listening on 790 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at the ESPN Fresno studio on Palm Avenue across from Bullard High School. For the next hour up until 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking pure Fresno Pacific University sports. If you want to go back and listen to any shows that we have, you could go to 790 ESPN Fresno. Under the archives, you can listen to past shows. We've been doing this, what, since September, the middle of September. Took a couple weeks off during Christmas break, but this has been an absolute blast. So much fun talking about Fresno Pacific University sports, and it's always about the wonderful student athletes at the university. There is no lack of conversation with the wonderful students there and also the coaches. It's been great getting to know them. And it's been fun broadcasting a few of their basketball games as well. We got some news and notes about the basketball season, some updates about that. But tonight, we have men's tennis in the house. We're going to talk with head coach Sam Goddard about his upcoming season. It officially starts, hopefully, fingers crossed, he said, off air against UC Davis. Apparently, there's rain in the forecast up north. I know we've got a little bit here in the Central Valley over the last couple days, but hopefully the season's going to start for them in a couple of days. We're going to hear from three members of the team. Pablo Zubieta, this guy is an amazing student athlete. He's one of those kids that I've grown to love over the last, 5 months, because he's helped with the broadcast here at 790 ESPN. He is linked up with the student athletes. He's a little bit of a liaison. He comes in and gives us updates about the school. He'll ask questions as well. So always great to have Pablo on the other side, get to ask him questions and get to know him a little bit more. Ben Kronau, who is from Germany, can't wait for you guys to listen to his story. I was able to talk to him a little bit before we went on air. Has a wonderful story. And Ravi Nelson, all the way up from Sacramento, California. These guys are all seniors. But we're going to talk to Coach first and then bring on those three guys, about 6:30-ish or so. All right. So this is the part of the broadcast that we update you guys about the teams. Fresno Pacific University, what have they done on the court, on the athletic field? Well, if you followed Fresno Pacific University basketball over this last week, you've known that the men have had a really good week, a really good 2 weeks, I should say. A few weeks ago, Coach CJ Haydock became the school's all-time winningest coach. Congratulations to him. And how about that? They just keep winning basketball games. They went 2-0 this last week, beating Dominican University, the Penguins. They beat them 65-58. And going 2-0, I should add, they earned PacWest Team of the Week. Isaac Peralta, they call him IP. He is a senior. He is a dude. He is one of those pure point guards that does everything right, makes the team go. He had 18 points and 5 rebounds. And then against the Vanguard Lions at home, they beat them 80-75. Again, IP, 16 points, 8 rebounds. And how good is this guy? Well, he leads the team in rebounds. And yeah, he's a 6'1" guard. He's very, very active and an excellent player. Freshman Australian Liam Switzer, he scored 13 points, had 6 rebounds, and 3 blocks in that win against Vanguard. On the women's side, they had a positive week. They went 1-1 in their first game against Dominican. They fell 57-48. Despite Clovis High's Jasmine Hugh, she's been on the show, wonderful student athlete. She had 10 points and 5 rebounds. They bounced back and erased an 18-point deficit to beat Vanguard 59-54. They have a habit of doing that. We broadcast one of their games where they came back from a 22-point deficit in the first half. San Joaquin Memorial's Angela Whitfield led the way. She had a double-double with 15 points and 13 rebounds. Kerman High's Bree Hurt, she had 14 points herself. And how about water polo? It's water polo season. The women's team kickstarted their season competing at the Joust Tournament in Riverside and got their first win of the season against Whittier College with a score of 22-7. I would call that a good old-fashioned butt-kicking. Super senior Tayden Benson led the team with 6 goals, broke the record for most goals in Fresno Pacific University history, setting the tally at 176. She also got awarded the WWPA Conference Player of the Week honors. The team also had a hard-fought contest against Division I rival UC San Diego and Pomona Pitzer. Men's and women's swim and dive faced off against Cal State East Bay and Simon Fraser over the weekend. The men's 200-yard medley relay of Rasmus Hansen, Anton Svensson, Sullivan Moore, and Olivier Pietre, who was on the show. I think I did a pretty good job pronouncing his name. They got first place. Hansen and Moore also got individual first place in the 100-yard freestyle and 50-yard freestyle, respectively. For the women's team, the top performances were Hermione Rowe finishing fourth in the 100-yard and 200-yard breaststroke events, and Charlotte Wilbers, she got fourth in the 200-yard freestyle. So that's a wrap-up of Fresno Pacific University Athletics, a super busy week for them. At the end of the show, Paul was going to tell us about the great events that are coming up later this week. All right, after the break, we got Coach Sam Goddard, the men's tennis coach at Fresno Pacific University. He is in his fourth year. And got to know him a little bit before the show. It's going to be a great interview. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Up until 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking Fresno Pacific University sports. Just had a really fun recap, talking about the basketball teams, and water polo has kicked off, and men's and women's swim and dive. But we got men's tennis here in the house, and Coach Sam Goddard is here. It's his fourth year as the men's coach, and the women's programs as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Women's programs as well. So, Sam, had a little bit of time to get to know each other, but where are we at with this season, right? We're, fingers crossed, 2 days away from playing up north, right?
Yes, fingers crossed from Davis. The women played a scrimmage against town rivals Fresno State this past week, but the guys are really getting started this week with Davis and then William Jessup up in Sacramento.
So driving up north, right?
Is yes, sir.
Up in Sacramento. All right, so let's talk about your roster. We're going to be getting into talking to three of your players later in the show. But let's talk about your roster, what you're most excited about this season.
Yeah, I love these guys. I've got a big group. It's 13. I think that's a little bigger than usual than what we carry. But seven seniors, the guys that have been here since I've been here, just love it. They understand what we're trying to do. They've seen the level. They've grown into the level. And now they're extremely competitive. So it's going to be a great spring. Just to watch them.
So let's go back a little bit. So just remind us how the seasons work for men's and women's tennis. Like, when can you officially start practice? Like, where are you practicing, and what does that all look like?
Yeah, different type of sport in that we kind of have two separate seasons. We have a fall, we have a spring. Fall is built for us to qualify for things on an individual basis, and so we have a tournament called the ITAs, and we can compete at the national level individually. So our number one, two, three singles guys have a chance to compete for a national spot. And then spring is the team season. We play a lot of dual matches. This is kind of the meat of when we start. And we play 22 this year, 22 matches. So,
is that what it looks like across D2? Is it the same basic concept of when the season starts?
Yeah, pretty much. And all that? Yeah, and there's a lot of D2 conferences, and each conference has its own size and strength. Our conference is basically California. There's 12 men's teams, a couple in Hawaii, a couple in Colorado, but mostly California, and we'll just go up and down and play them all.
I don't want to put you on the spot, because sometimes when people ask me this type of question, like, who's in the league? Like, so you said pretty much all D2 schools in California. Can you give us a few? You don't have to run them all down.
Every D2 school in California is in the Pac West. And so, you know, there's a lot of LA schools, Biola, Azusa Pacific, Concordia, Irvine, these types of schools. Cal State LA has a women's program. Point Loma's in San Diego. But then you've got new schools. William Jessup is new. They used to be NAIA, and they just moved over to D2 this year. Menlo College was NAIA. Now they're D2, and they're in the Bay Area, so we're all over the place.
Hawaii?
Hawaii Pacific, Hawaii Hilo, Chaminade.
So are you going to Hawaii?
The guys would love it if we did. All right. No, not this year. We're flying to Florida this year to play a couple other D2s in Florida, but not Hawaii this year.
All right. So when's the Florida event?
Early March. March 2 to 6. We'll be there.
All right. Do you guys usually plan, you know, an out-of-state type trip like that? Is that usually on the schedule?
Yeah, Paul, this is a big one. Seven seniors, we're feeling very good about where our standings are this year, and so we want to prove it by playing some pretty highly ranked national teams out in Florida, and so this is kind of a cherry on top and prove it trip.
All right, so remind me also, like, how many – all right, so you're playing a match against Davis. Like, how many are going to be playing singles and doubles on Friday, hopefully?
Yeah, so a typical dual match, you'll start with doubles. There's three doubles matches, and that totals 1 point. So we'll each play one set each. If you win two out of the three sets, then you win the doubles point. And then we start right away with six singles matches right there. So you have a total of 7 points, the six singles points, and then the doubles point. And whoever wins four wins the match.
How long do these usually go on? Is it like a three-hour deal? Is it 4 hours?
Depends on how competitive we are. I mean, a doubles set with no ad is about 30 minutes. And it's action-packed, and it's a great way to start it off. Five-minute break before singles, and then singles can be anywhere from, you know, an hour and a half to 3.5 hours long, depending on the matches. So.
How many courts are going on at the
all
same
six.
Time?
All six. All six same time.
How are you able to rotate between, right, all those? Like, you have a couple assistants, right?
I have two amazing assistants because I'm not able to. That's a hard part of the job, you know, is you can't have eyes on everybody. But I have two wonderful assistants, brand new this year to me. And so, yeah, we'll be able to see every court, you know, and be able to touch them, you know, at least a couple times every set.
So I'm curious how much coaching you can do during a match, right? So I'm used to the pro game. If I'm watching a pro match and you see the coaches, right, they always zoom in on the coaches up there in the stands. And, right, they're technically not supposed to do anything, correct? But at the college level, how far do you go into coaching during a match?
That's one of the great things about college tennis is that I can mention things, you know, after a point while they're still playing their game. At changeovers, you know, every odd game they'll do a changeover. I get 90 seconds with them. And so it's really key, you know, to just talk about, pick their brain a little bit, ask some questions. Or if you see something and it's obvious to you and maybe they're not seeing it, you know, to bring that up or to find weaknesses or, you know, something like that.
Well, yeah. How about something like specific? Like, are you saying attack this player's weakness? Or as a coach, you're like, hey, you know, deep on the backhand side, they're pretty weak. Let's focus on that. Is that a decent example?
We do that. Yeah. This level, there's not a lot of weaknesses, or the weaknesses are not super weak. They're just not strengths. And so sometimes, you know, our guys are maybe a bit mental, and they need to rein it back in. And so we'll have them focus on something specific, just to get their brain off of the score or their brain off of the miss that they had two games ago or something like that. But we do a lot of drills, and the drills have names, and, you know, 90 seconds is not a lot of time. And so if I think they should be working on, you know, the tactics that we work on in this drill, I'll say the name of the drill, and they'll know what that means. You know, so in 90 seconds, you can kind of make everything compact.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm curious about the difference. So you mentioned you scrimmage Fresno State. Right. What is, in your mind, is the difference between, like, being a pretty good college tennis player to being a great college tennis player?
It's all coaching, Paul. No, I mean, there's different levels to every sport. Tennis is unique in a lot of ways, but one of the ways it's unique in college is that it's been an individualized sport all the way through juniors, and then you're thrown into this where you could win every single one of your singles matches all year, and your team could lose every single one of the team matches. So there's a level of buy-in with college tennis that is different, that takes some getting used to, you know, from the junior level. So there's good as a junior, and then there's good as a college player, and that does look different a little bit. There's training, there's a certain level of athleticism, but I think there's just hard work and discipline. You know, it's the hard stuff.
How about, right, these great players that have a coach throughout their life and then they get to college? Is that kind of tough to break through that different type of mentality?
Yeah. I So we have an international team, not all international, but a lot. I think we 6 different countries on the guys' team and some California boys. So, I think in the recruiting process, I ask how they're coached and what they're used to and what works and doesn't, because I have a certain way about, you know, how I work, and it might not mesh with everybody, and I need to know that before they're here.
And going through your roster a bit, both with the men's and women's team, a lot of international students, and I love it. And we're going to be hearing from one, two, I guess.
We got two, yeah,
Pablo,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Can't forget Pablo's an international student. How do you go about recruiting, right? Like, you go, is it word of mouth, or does a coach call you and say, hey, I got a kid, right? How does that work at Fresno Pacific?
It's all a bit different. There are agencies, and if you make friends with agencies and you feel good about that connection, then that's a great way to build, because they know their level. The agencies sometimes are just for one country, sometimes it's for a group of countries, sometimes it's national, international. But other times it's a YouTube video. Other times it's we play junior college teams here, and you'll talk to one of them here, Ravi, who was one of the best players in the state of California, and I love his junior college coach, and we hit it off, and he said, I think you have the temperament that Ravi's looking for. You should give him a call. And so, you know, it's the gamut. It's that. It's YouTube late at night. You know, it's everything in between.
All right. So you mentioned your type of player. Right. So what is your type of tennis player that you like to play for Fresno Pacific?
Guy needs to breathe tennis. Like, he just needs to love it. You know, I think the hard work is a hard thing to find, especially recruiting internationally, because you watch video, you can't meet the guy usually, unless you fly there or he's able to come look at you. And so you have to figure out what their work ethic is, how much they're willing to communicate, especially when they're frustrated, because you go through that a lot. And if they're willing to open up fully and work with you and try hard and be uncomfortable, I think that's the most you could ask for, right? You look for a certain level of tennis, and there's a lot, especially when you open up the world, mm-hmm. right? And then after that, you find guys that are just willing to sleep on the tennis court and communicate with you.
Where did you get that from, right? You grew up, playing tennis late in life that you mentioned. Grew up in an athletic family, it sounds like, as well. So where did that athleticism come from at home and then, you know, growing up in Kansas?
Dad. I mean, there, you know, like, yeah, I had some really great, you know, father figures. Dad was one of them. Grandpa was another one, where they were athletes, but they kind of went about things the right way, and they understood that the good things in life aren't easy, and that you learn through hard circumstances sometimes, and they did a good job teaching that to me, because I went through some hard stuff, you know, and playing different. Dad was a coach, basketball coach growing up, and I got to see him in his element do his thing, and of course that's awesome, right? And I got to go in the locker room and hang out with the players, and so... Yeah, if you're surrounded by that and you kind of see other people going through it, then maybe you're more apt to do the same thing when you're older.
Yeah. I'm so happy when Jim says that we're going to bring some tennis players on, right? I was so happy, because I've always wondered this question about tennis players. Just take me in the mindset of what a tennis player goes through mentally during a match, right? I mean, and I'm thinking pro, right? I'm thinking these grueling 2.5, 3, sometimes 4-hour matches, where it's more of a testament of the mental ability as the physical ability as well. But just kind of walk me through some of the mental things that a tennis player goes through.
It's totally mental. I mean, you should ask these three guys. They play at a better level than I did. But, you know, I think you just deal with everything that's happened in real time, and you have so much time to sit with it. And so if you know that you've done something wrong that you shouldn't do, you have all the time in the world to sit and think about that. And so I think it's difficult to get out of your own way in tennis. I think some of the successful players professionally, in college, any level, are the players that can release the point, any point, good point, bad point, and play the next one just as fierce as you played the one before. And Yeah, I think any. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, how, like, was that a struggle for you as a tennis player? You played at the collegiate level.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, and now you're a coach. Right. So do you take yourself back to when, you know, when you played in college, like,
yeah,
okay, what these kids need right now is this, because I went through it as well.
I think it's helpful for me because I was a very angry tennis player. Right. And so I had high expectations for myself, and it's hard to meet high expectations all the time. Impossible. So I went through that. I know how I felt personally when I went through it. And so it's easy for me when I see one of my guys going through that to be able to relate. Yeah. Because I know how I got through it. It's not going to be the same for them, but I'll be able to put words to it, you know, or at least, yeah, feel what they felt.
That's great, right? I mean, you just see just sometimes the mental anguish. And I don't know how tennis players do it, right? Dwelling on a point that they missed or a mistake that they made 45 minutes ago. It's not uncommon, is it?
No. And I'll tell you, too, it's, you know, we have officials. Just like there's refs in basketball, just like there's refs in football, but they only watch one court after. We probably only have one official for every match, and we have six singles matches. So we call our own outs, we call our own ins. Sometimes the calls aren't favorable, sometimes they're not right. And if an official doesn't see it, that's the call on court, you know, and that's a very hard thing. If you win a point and it's in and the opponent calls it out, the opponent called it out, and you got to deal with it. So that's tough, and it's also life lessons, and that's what we try and work on and move forward.
A couple more questions before we take a break and bring on the guys. All right, so where your facilities at Fresno Pacific, talk about those and how you like when you accepted the job, like coming from Kansas to California, right? That was probably a tough decision, first of all, but you're very happy with it, right?
Well, I married a Fresnonian. What do we call it? So, we were coming here, and I had a great tennis job with the U.S. Tennis Association here, and I worked remotely with them while we moved to Fresno. So I didn't move to Fresno for this job. I'd coached prior. I'd been a stint out East Coast. I'd coached in Kansas for a little bit, and so when this job opened up, I was so excited because coaching's in my veins, and I'm lucky enough to get the job. Very happy with the interview process, and the facilities are great. Seven courts, they're beautiful. They're still doing a lot of work to make the outside of it beautiful and easy to get to, and so a lot of forward momentum with FPU. It's really exciting.
All right, last question before we hit the break. Probably thought about this a lot. I don't know. We'll see how easy your answer is. Best tennis player of all time, in your opinion, is
men or women?
Let's go men. Let's stick with men.
Novak Djokovic has to be the best. Not my favorite, but the best. Yeah.
Why is he not your favorite?
I didn't grow up with the guy. I'm an Agassi, a Sampras, Patrick Rafter, but yeah.
All right. I'm an Agassi guy. I'm gonna ask these guys the same question. We'll see what they come up with. See how the generations, right, have affected who they think is the best tennis player of all time. All right, Coach Sam, thank you very much. We'll keep you around because I want you to chime in on these guys as well. But we come up after the break. We're going to listen to stories from Pablo, Ben, and Ravi coming up on the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
And now, the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show. You're listening to it on 790 ESPN. Like I mentioned in my opener, if you miss any parts of the show, you could go to 790ESPNFresno.com. The shows will be archived there. And we've been doing this since September. It's been an absolute blast. I mentioned how great those student athletes are at Fresno Pacific University. And we got three more to talk about, to talk to listen to their stories. We got Pablo Zubieta, Ben Cronow, and Ravi Nelson. They are all seniors, and Coach was saying how Ravi, right?
I guess
say Ravi. All right, Ravi Nelson, and Coach is saying how these guys, they're not only great tennis players, but man, they are smart. They're like 4.0 dudes, and that's what we like at Fresno Pacific, and we love to hear their stories and what they're going to do later on life. But I got to ask you, Pablo, you've been on the microphone a lot this year. You've helped me out with news and notes and questions.
Yes, sir.
How do you keep finding yourself on the show, man? You just show up and you just talk. Getting used to it yet?
We're just talking about it, and I think every different position that you're in, brings a new spark to it. But I think it's meant to be for me to come back on the radio show. And I mean, if you ask me now what I want to do in the future, it's going to have to do with this, because I mean, I love speaking on air with you here.
And I don't know, soccer talk, right? Do we even bring in soccer in this conversation, or is it pure tennis?
It's up to you. I think out of the three of us, I'm probably the one that's a little bit more invested in soccer, but we're big tennis dudes.
Big tennis. The three of us. And yeah. I got to mention, though, you broadcasted a lot of soccer games this year for the university as well, right?
Last fall, yeah. I did the coloring for Enzo, did the play-by-play, and then we did some games in Spanish as well. It was so much fun. It just came natural. We grew up with soccer, so just getting the opportunity, like you said, when we were off air, you've been broadcasting in your head since you're 7 years old, and I did this since I'm little with soccer. So just putting a voice, putting my voice to the game was such a cool experience.
How about tennis? Do you think you could broadcast tennis?
I think so. Yeah. We're so passionate about it, and I think when we're watching other matches, we do so. We love the game. We analyze the game.
You eat, breathe, yeah, and play tennis, 24/7 almost?
Yeah, right? we finished practice, and recently it was the Australian Open that started around 5 p.m. On the TV. We would get off the court, go turn the TV on, and the matches would go on until at least midnight, yeah, and we would just be watching matches for 2 weeks straight. tennis is very important to us.
All right, so I got to ask you guys, though. What's like the perfect weather for tennis? The weather's starting to change. It's still cold in the morning, right? And then our afternoons have been wonderful and glorious. But how about you, Ben? Like, what temperature is like your favorite to play tennis in?
As you said, it's cold right now in the mornings, but I feel like as soon as it's like noon or a little bit after noon, I feel like it's almost perfect when it's sunny, because it's not too warm. Once you get going, once you like start sweating, once you start moving, you feel like it's just good, and it's just not too warm. Like if it's too warm, like when we come back in August, it's horrible for me, because I come from Germany. It's getting hotter in the summer as well, but like not like here.
Well,
like
I'm
not
curious.
Constantly over 100.
We're definitely going to get into your days in Germany and how you arrived to Fresno Pacific University, but when did like the Fresno heat like first hit you? Do you remember like, what the heck is going on? I came to play tennis in this? Do you remember at a certain time?
So when I came my freshman year, I mean, obviously I had to fly, and it was my first time in America, or actually like my first time traveling alone. And I arrived to Fresno at like, let's say like 6, 7 p.m. local time. And our coach back then picked me up and drove me to campus, and because it was the first time traveling alone for me, I didn't think of like putting water in my luggage or like filling up water anywhere, and it was so warm that I was like, I need to get like some drink somewhere, like I need to get something to drink. So my first thought was of texting in the group chat if somebody has like anything to drink for me, because I didn't know there were like water dispensers on campus. I just knew that I couldn't drink the tap water. So Pablo actually answered me back then, and he brought me a Gatorade, which at that point I also didn't know what it was, because we don't have it in Germany.
I texted him like, I have a Gatorade for you, and his response is, what is a Gatorade?
Yeah. No, like,
I was in shock.
Our freshman year, like, it was just crazy times, because all of us were new, all of us were getting used to something new, and I think that's what made our time here so special, that's what made us bond so well, is because we went through all of the stages together, and now we're all seniors, like most of the team, and it's just,
well,
just
and
been
you
a great time.
You went from Gatorade to water to like having great moments with your team. How about
exactly
that? I mean, your first interaction with Pablo was getting a Gatorade from him. All right, Ravi, so you're from Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
So is there a big difference between the Sacramento heat and Fresno heat?
No, I'd say weather-wise, it's about the same winter and summer. It gets really cold here. Not too cold here in the winter, but summer gets hot here and out in Sac for sure.
All right. So, Pablo, we know your story a little bit, if anybody's listened to the show, of how you arrived at Fresno Pacific University to play tennis. Just kind of give us a little synopsis, like growing up, when did you first start playing tennis, and how do you ride to FBU?
For sure. I started, my dad is the reason why I play tennis. He's been playing for 40 years now. And when he was little, he gave me the tennis ball, and I used to kick it. I've always been hardcore on soccer, and then when I was 9, I started to do a mix of both, and then when I was around 12, I said, I want to be competitive in one of those. I set the goal of playing collegiate sports, and I had to choose one, and 12-year-old me thought that playing tennis, I could be more accountable for my mistakes, and I could hold my own process and be able to grow. Take care of all of that. So I focused competitively on tennis. And
at what age was that?
Like 12.
You're 12. You're already 12. Thinking like that at age 12. I'm thinking about playing Atari, right? And you're reading some comic books, and you're thinking about becoming a competitive tennis player and all this next level stuff. Okay, but that's you.
Yeah, and it just happened to where I started playing competitive junior tournaments, nationals in Mexico, and then like the pro circuit there in Mexico, and just did the college recruiting process through COVID, which was a little bit complicated, but in an online showcase, that's where the previous coach found me. We talked, and I liked what I saw, and I took a gamble in Fresno. I've never been here before, and like Ben said, right now, like, we just got here, and it was like just culturally shocking and learning everything as we go, because we had no idea what was happening, and there was no seniors or no people with experience on the team to guide us. It was like, all together, let's navigate this experience and see what's in store for us.
All right. I definitely want to go back to some of those moments. But Ravi, how did you arrive? I think you played some junior college tennis.
I did.
But how did you arrive at Fresno Pacific?
So I was at American River, which is in Sacramento. It's a JUCO in Sacramento. I played there for 3 years. I got that COVID year back, so technically 2 years. And then obviously I wanted to transfer. I wanted to take my tennis to a four-year school. And I was looking at a lot of schools in our conference. And Fresno it ended up working out for me. I talked to Sam, liked Sam. I knew what the team was because American River, we played Fresno. So I kind of knew the guys. I kind of knew the campus, knew the area, and I thought it was going
to
work out.
Was it a pretty easy transition for you, right? Sometimes junior college to a four-year, you feel a little behind, maybe socially and classes and all that stuff. But it was a pretty easy.
It was very straightforward. I had a really good coach at my junior college who put me through the ringer in terms of discipline, on-court stuff, off-court stuff, academics. So the transition was really easy.
All right. Ben, time to hear your story, right? So you gave us a little tease of coming from Germany. So before you got the Gatorade from Pablo, how did you arrive at Fresno Pacific and first hear about it?
As Pablo said, we all went through that COVID phase, which was, I would say, a weird phase for everyone involved, also for the coaches, not only for us players. I played a showcase in Germany as well. It was not online. It was still in person. It was like shortly before COVID broke out. And there was my first interaction with like American coaches, college tennis, whatsoever. But I still had one more year of high school. So I started talking to some of those coaches, but it ended up just fading away. And then I had to make a video. I had to put it online. I had to like work with an agency to get in touch with some of the coaches. And then it was also like, I got offers from schools, I would say all over the country. But like for me, it was always a clear choice that I don't want to be anywhere like in the middle or like in a small town. I want to have something around. I want to have something to do outside of school. I want to explore. That is one of the main reasons why I came to America. And so California was a pretty obvious choice for me. And yeah, so I also took a gamble on Fresno. I actually thought it would be like way closer to the beach.
I was just going to say that. Oh my. Everybody right, that comes to California think, well, of course, you're by the beach.
Yeah.
But Fresno Pacific, it's about a 2.5-hour drive.
Exactly. So it's not too bad. Like in Germany, where I live, I have to drive like at least 4 hours plus to get to a beach, and it's only good in the summer. Unless you go to Italy, of course, or like Greece or somewhere Mediterranean. But I also really, really like the mountains and nature. So Fresno Pacific offers that in a way that you're super close to all those national parks. And like the guys on the team are making jokes about me and like one of my friends that we've been like to those national parks way too often. But I just
Ben's think backyard is Yosemite. he goes like once a month.
No, like I love it. I think it's really nice.
Was there a culture shock that you had that's maybe you're still getting used to, or what's one thing about America or even tennis that's still like at the forefront of your mind?
So when I first got here, before I got the Gatorade from Pablo, when our old coach picked me up from the airport, we started to drive and there was a red light and we had to take a right turn and the light was red and we still took that right turn. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? Like, are we just skipping red lights or... Like, I didn't know about anything, basically. Like, that was the first very big culture shock for me, that you can, like, turn right on red lights if it's free. And then, like, I think it's just the people here are also, like, a little different. But, like, I love getting to know new people. I love getting to know new cultures. Because at Fresno Pacific, it's not only Americans. I would say most of the people I'm in contact with are, like, also international. Of course, there are some Americans, but I would have to say that I got in touch with so many different cultures, and I'm very grateful for that.
Is there, like, you're a senior, right? So you're graduating this year. So what are some of your favorite classes, and what are you going to graduate with?
I'm an accounting major, so I'm going to hopefully graduate this spring with my degree in accounting. And to be honest, I was a business major before, general business administration. And my second year, my sophomore year, I took accounting, intro to accounting and stuff like this. And I thought that it was the class that I learned the most in over that 1.5 year span I've been here. And that's when I made the decision I want to invest in myself. I want to learn something. So that's when I switched my majors to accounting.
You gonna stay in America or are you gonna go back to Germany? What's the plan?
Right now the plan is to go back to Germany to at least do my master's, or I don't even know if it's gonna be in Germany. Maybe it's gonna be in the UK or somewhere else in Europe, but just go back because studying in Germany is free and I don't know if I can afford staying here and doing my master's because I won't be able to receive a scholarship anymore because of the NCAA's rule of eligibility. So, but if I would have more years of eligibility, I would immediately say, like, it would
be a no-brainer. There you go. All right. I like that plan. All right. Ravi, what about you? Like, what are your favorite classes graduating, right? What's future goals look like?
Future goals. I like the business program at FPU. I think all the professors know exactly what they're doing. I am the general business administration degree. So, I do have my own business right now, reselling. I'm pretty heavy into that, so I think after FPU, I want to do that either full time, part coach on the side maybe, but you know, you're young once, and I kind of want to see if I could escape that 9-to-5, and just I'm really knowledgeable in what I do, so I just want to go that route.
So give me an example, like reselling what?
Vintage, you know, vintage clothing.
What?
Yeah. Like what I'm wearing right now, vintage Apple, vintage Nike, sports stuff, collectibles,
shoes,
sure, yeah. Like vintage Vans, vintage Converse.
The clothes are so
made
cool.
Made in USA.
You are a man after my own heart. Let's go.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, all right. Gosh, I wish we had another hour to talk about this stuff.
Yeah,
I love that. All right. Pablo, what about you? You're going to graduate?
Yes, I'm going to graduate this spring as well. But because of injuries last year, my junior year, I have an extra year of eligibility. So I'm navigating the options. I want to get a master's degree in sports information, sports media, sports journalism, doing more of what I do here and going more in depth of it. And I'm trying to see if I can find the balance between doing that and finding somewhere to play while I study this, but I think for now, I mean, I'm really into all this like professional development and career opportunities. I dream to be involved in professional sports, collegiate sports, just high level for a really long amount of time because sports have been an extremely important part of my life and I'm very passionate about them. And it's not only tennis, soccer, American football, whatever it can be. So I want to pursue that route. I want to find a position to where I can display my passion for sports through my job. And avoid the 9-to-5 as well.
And you, you're in the right spot. I mean, look at this. You're literally speaking in a microphone that says ESPN Fresno. How cool is that? It's a great experience right here.
It's so cool, and I never minimize it. And every week I come speak here with you. Whenever someone asks me where are you going, I brag. Oh, I'm going to my ESPN internship because I think it's so special that I already get to do stuff like this. And I wish I could just keep going forward.
And you got Jorge across the glass here that does an amazing job, and I know he's helped you too. So, Coach Sam, I want you to give about a minute talk about each one of these guys do on the tennis court, what your expectations were. I mean, we haven't really talked about tennis that much, but just talk about each of these guys, about what they're going to bring to the court this year.
Bring to the court this year, okay. I mean, I absolutely love these guys. I think this is, you know, kind of a once in a generation type team. And most of these guys I inherited. I recruited Ravi here, but Ben, Pablo, all these other guys were here, and I just lucked out. Just the hard work, the energy, the effort, the level, the talent. So, you know, like kind of like we talked about earlier, I hope it all culminates into the spring season that we all want it to be. Practices have been very competitive. We've laughed, we've cried a little bit, we've fought a little bit, and I think we're ready to play someone that's not us. Yeah. So expectations are very high. I mean, I think we all want to go to nationals. We all want to do well and take conference if possible. It's going to be tough, and it's something that's in our grasp, and it's coming. You know, it's this weekend or next. We'll get started, and we'll get to prove it. But sky's the limit for these guys, and they don't hold themselves back from it, which is very cool.
That's awesome. And you can see that in how driven they are, right? They're seniors. They've been through a lot already through the, you know, playing tennis, but also academically. Fresno Pacific just produces great young men and women, don't they?
They do. And I wish more people knew about it. So this opportunity, Paul, is wonderful. Thank you for this. But I think, no, it's a hidden gem. I didn't know about it until it was here and I had a position. And now I can't stop talking about these kids. So.
That's awesome. Yep. All right, so we got a few more minutes with these guys. I got to ask them. We want these different perspectives. Let's see what this generation thinks. Ben, let's start with you. Greatest tennis player, or maybe your favorite tennis player of all time.
Oh, easy question. Right. It's got to be Roger Federer. I mean, he's retired now, but I've watched him growing up. I've watched him playing his last match. I cried with him during the last match. The way he handled himself on the court, the way he plays the game, he makes it look so simple, but there's nothing simple about tennis. Like, he's been putting in the hard work where no eyes are on him, and then on the court he's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just perfect.
Ravi, what about you? Who do you like?
Roger Federer, I mean, it's a thing of beauty. He's incredibly poised, like when he was playing, obviously. It's just all around game. He knows the game so well. It's beauty. Like, it's just one of the best athletes to ever walk the earth, in my opinion.
I agree. All right, Pablo,
I mean,
on you.
Coincidentally, you got three people that say Roger Federer. We have this debate on our team in between Djokovic or Federer.
And
we know. And Nadal, we know that Djokovic has the edge on numbers, but at least the three of us can come to a consensus that Federer is the one that has impacted the game the most. Mm-hmm. Actually, a little story real quick is that the September of 2022, I think, that he retired, he played in the Laver Cup, his last match, and we, all of us as a team, agreed we would skip the first half hour of practice without telling the coaches at the time. To watch the match, and we ran suicides for like 30 minutes.
Was it worth it?
100%. 100% in my opinion.
Yeah. I Agassi, you know, I grew up watching Agassi. I remember on the cover of Sports Illustrated, what it say, the Ace of Hearts. I think that was what the cover said, right? Yeah. Am I right on that? So, all right, I can't argue. You know, Djokovic, obviously what he did, Federer, you know, grew up watching that guy as well and watching his mature. All right. Pablo, you got we got like what, a minute and a half? This has been a fantastic show. We got some cool things that are coming up at Fresno Pacific. What do you got?
Yes, so now switching roles to helping you out with the show, I guess. So up next for FPU Sports, on Thursday, we got women's and men's basketball against William Jessup at 5 and 7:30 respectively for 18 and over. Entrance is $10 and 17 and under is free. Friday, we got swim and dive senior meet against Biola at 2 p.m. hosted in Clovis East. And then for baseball, we got a doubleheader versus Dominguez Hills. Friday, 5 p.m. and Saturday, 12 p.m. Entrance is free. And we got our first home game for women's water polo versus Santa Clara at 12 p.m. hosted in Sanger. And back to you, Paul.
All right. Done like a pro's pro. All right. So like you've done it before. All right. Wonderful show. Thank you guys for coming on. It was a lot of fun getting to know you guys. Thanks to Sam and Pablo and Ben and Ravi. Good luck for the season. And, right, no rain this weekend. Let's go.
Hopefully. Let's go.
Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. Thank you, guys. That's been the Sunburst Sports Show. We'll talk to you next week.